Josh Bertaccini joining us, the voice of that part of the country.
I've been waiting a long time for this.
The moment you've been waiting for.
KB, maybe you can do commentary live.
And the show that everyone's been talking about.
Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last.
It's time for the real NWA JB.
At least I work someplace that you can find when you're looking for it.
Follow, watch, and listen across social media at the real NWA JB.
Okay, all right. Because it's all about the little things.
Streaming live on YouTube, Podbean, and worldwide at TheRealNWAJP.com.
You were man on fire last night on the post game.
You've started your day in the right way. Let's talk sports.
This is prime time television here, folks.
Here's your host, Josh Bertaccini.
We're getting after it today. So good to have you on board the program as we get into it. In the Bunker Studio, Josh Bertaccini with you. Follow, listen, watch, subscribe at The Real NWAJB. I think you'll like it being a part of this thing on a daily basis moving forward. And so many of you awesome folks have found this show in our first 8 months of operation. And it's been a journey, right? From middle August last year to the middle of April here in 2024, but we got a heck of a long way to go, and obviously a baseball season that's only halfway home as we get our thoughts in on that so far in the course of the conversation. Let's continue to talk all about it. We got a lot of storylines to get after. Baseball leads us out the gates today as Arkansas gets set to take on Texas Tech. Two games at Bomb Walker. You'll play them coming up tonight at 7 o'clock and tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And yeah, I mean, there you go. It's at a point right now where you have to be fired up and ready to roll with the final five SEC series of the year. Because if you're not, and if you don't, this thing is going to end before you wake up, before you blink. Hogs are 12-3 in the SEC so far this year. 12-3, finding their way to wins in series wherever they can. And yet at the same time, you know, obviously back down to earth a little bit last weekend. Now, you know, the diehard fanatics would have told you that would never have happened. This team just couldn't lose. They were too good and so on and so forth. But the bottom line is at the end of the day, I mean, wow, this baseball team is 12-3 in the SEC. It's not easy. And now you'll go after the back half of the season and you will try to take this into some kind of, you know, lockdown legitimate top eight national seed spot. If you're thinking about Arkansas and what the goal is for Dave Van Horn and this Diamond Hog team as they barrel their way down the backstretch of the season, they want to be a top eight national seed. You listen to the show, you're like, Joshua, they want to be a number one seed. Well, it doesn't really work like that in baseball. Not so much the one seed kind of deal because you don't have, you know, a bracket breakdown that has four different one seeds. What you do is the way the NCAA baseball committee does it. They give you 16 national seeds, okay? 16 hosts in the regionals. And then they seed them 1 through 16. So they seed the thing. And then those teams are put out there in pairings, right? So your four-team regional is matched up with another four-team regional, and then you're playing two out of three in the super regional round. You want to be a host team in that super regional round. Does that make sense? So you want to be one of those top eight out of top 16. Well, don't you want to be number one or two? Won't that be more favorable for you? I mean, theoretically, you're a one or a two or a three. You're going to get the opportunity to face a team that's probably a little bit lower ranked, I guess. But we're talking about apples and oranges here, right? We're talking about nickels and dimes. These are not going to make enormous differences in whether or not you win the national championship. Probably argue the same thing about the way they seed the college basketball tournament, that the 4-1 seeds, that's a little overblown too. Once you get deeper, it's more about the matchups that you have. But I bring it up to say Arkansas absolutely has work in front of it as we make our way through the final five series of the SEC baseball season. And that's where we are. And down the stretch we go with this Arkansas Razorback baseball team that is not without flaw. Obviously, they struggle to hit the baseball a little bit. They do not play small ball. And you find yourself at this point in time wondering whether they'll change that at all. I mean, is there room for something else? Or no, they're not going to bunt. They're not going to play small ball. They're not going to run more. They're not going to sacrifice more. They're not going to do any of that. I think each year we believe they're going to be slightly different. And for some reason, you know, we're the fools there because they continue to move slowly but surely further and further away from, you know, from anything close to playing small ball. They just don't seem interested in it. They don't run a lot. That's not their style. I mean, let's be honest, folks. This Razorback baseball program, the offense has been centered, absolutely centered on the home run ball for, frankly, for 10, 15 years, almost as long as I can remember. Now, you go back early days with Van Horn. I'm talking like, you know, 05, 06, 07. And I mean, I'm going that far back with you because I remember those teams. And those are my early days in this state. DVH used to play a lot more small ball. I mean, he would bunt in a big spot. He would play for the run here or there. Because I just believe that if you're going to win the whole thing, and isn't that the goal here for Razorback baseball, is not just be really good in April and May and then fizzle out in June, but win the whole thing. Well, if this is indeed the team that is going to help you to do that, then I need to know where the offense is going to come from, where the run's going to come from. You know, you've played a schedule that is so soft so far. 12-36 headed into Alabama, who was what? Headed in the weekend 4-8. The teams you played in the SEC when you went in and played them so far, those teams, wow. I mean, absolutely unbelievable the struggles that they've had. 12-36 for the SEC teams in the first four series that Arkansas faced heading into last weekend. Then you drop 2 out of 3 to Alabama, who's, you know, not great, but what do? They get creative. They run the bases. You saw the McKinstry cat running around. Speed is a weapon. It doesn't have to be about yard work every time. And Zane Adams pitching lights out. I mean, there are a lot of good pitchers around the country, too. Hagen Smith is not the only one. All right? So this overload the pitching idea, like that mentality, is going to lift you past some of your demons that you've had in previous seasons. I don't know. I still think there's a next level for this Arkansas Razorback baseball offense to get to. And I don't know if it's a stylistic kind of thing and Dave Van Horn just doesn't want to do it, or Nate Thompson is really, you know, employing what he thinks is the best kind of offense, just swinging for the fences on the regular. But at home, more often than not, most teams find ways to win games. Now we watch Arkansas fight it out on the road, and I think you wonder a little bit about some of the compartments on this team. It's just not all, you know, perfect and gold and everything's, you know, exactly where you want it, right? Question of the day today. What's your first half progress report on this Razorback baseball team that slipped to 2 or 3 in the national polls based on where you looked at? Because the pollsters are watching what I'm watching. And they saw a baseball team offensively really the last couple weekends, but definitely this past weekend, it just wasn't very good. Another tough one coming up. Really two tough series this week. You'll face Texas Tech for two starting tonight and then into tomorrow. 7 o'clock first pitch tonight. ESPN2. Any chance you get to have a national audience is awesome. You'll take a piece of that pie and not apologize for it. And then they'll get after it at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Texas Tech is 26-11. So they've come up a little bit. Good for them. Hogs are 7-0 in the midweek so far and have been dominant at home, right? Where they've won 23 consecutive games. I would think at the least you're hoping for a split here. Ben Bibee and Zach Erdman, your pitching matchup tonight. Bibee, a freshman, 2-0, has just come back from what he was dealing with mono early this year, has just come back of late. And Zach Erdman, a lefty, who hadn't pitched much for Tech. So that's the pitching matchup today. We'll see what happens tomorrow. These midweek games are tough, especially on the really good teams like Arkansas, because if you win, you know, they don't help you that much. And if you lose, well, they definitely hurt you. So that's the trick with these series. You got to win and just move on, really. Tech for two, at South Carolina for three. Five games this week for Arkansas Razorback baseball as we head into the back half of the SEC season. Our question of the day, let's drop that on you. You be the professor. You open up the grade book. What's your first half grade for this Arkansas Razorback baseball team? You're second or third in the country, halfway through the SEC. You're 12-3 overall, almost unbeatable at home. Pitching's been awesome. Offense has been decent. What's your overall grade for this team halfway through? And we'll get some open-ended responses out of you on that. At Carolina for three this weekend. Should be a lot of fun. As we do it, 6 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 12:30 start times. So that's pretty awesome. So on Saturday night, we're right back at our 5 o'clock game time. That'll be great after hanging out a little late night last week. And then there's Pine Bluff and Missouri State as the last three midweek games after Arkansas and Texas Tech play their two here tonight and tomorrow. So baseball gets to go front and center stage a little bit more. Supposed to be 80 degrees today, though the wind is blowing through. And now that you have things sorted out there, we'll continue the conversation with some headlines and some sound as we work it through. Basketball has its first commit in the Calipari era. Get into that. Football with another transfer as your quarterback position gets a little thinner. We'll tell you about that. And got some tickets giveaway too, a family four-pack. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals tonight. Tremendous advertising partner of ours down there to the block at Arvis Park, one of my favorite stadiums. Been going there for a dozen years and ain't stopping anytime soon. So I'll be listening for chances to win some family entertainment on the house each and every morning, all spring and summer long. All right? Okay. Let's take our first break of the morning. You're in the Bunker studio with Team E Media, and we're making it happen. Josh Bertoncini here, you there. Headlines next. We got Richard Davenport coming up in 20, and Brian Toporek talking some NBA play-in games. Those start tonight, too, at 8:05. Right back after this. When it's time for a cut, you have to go to The Cave. It's a men's grooming and lounge experience like no other barber shop. Located on J.B. Hunt Drive in Rogers, just off of exit 83 on I-49. Individual haircuts, group packages, and if you're getting ready for a wedding or a big occasion, get your weekend started right. Brand new location coming to downtown Springdale soon as well. Online more info, cavemannwa.com, or like on Facebook at The Cave NWA.
Lack of teamwork, failure of communication, overall disappointment. I'm not talking about your favorite basketball team's performance in March. I'm talking about your marriage. If you're getting divorced, don't listen to the myths about custody and child support. Call me, Jackie Mock, at Mock Legal Solutions to discuss your rights and options. 479-769-1505. Mock Legal Solutions. Real advice. Reasonable price.
That's a long way. Everyone wants Christmas lights, but when the holidays get here, money's always tight. But don't you want your business to stand out? Don't you want the prettiest house on the block? That's where Lion Chasers Lighting steps up to the plate and hits you a home run. Hassle-free installation, maintenance, removal, and storage. Because who wants to deal with this stuff in January, right? Now offering monthly payment plans year-round. Lion Chasers Lighting. Call 479-283-2760. Now go chase a lion. Spring and summer mean road trip fun, and the adventure starts at Adventure Subaru in Fayetteville. Located just off exit 65 on I-49, Adventure Subaru has phenomenal inventory of new and pre-owned vehicles, and all their vehicles have four-wheel drive, so you can take them where you need to go. Adventure Subaru is locally owned and has won multiple awards for community involvement. See for yourself why their customer ratings are through the roof. Adventure Subaru in Fayetteville. Online, AdventureSubaru.com. See things in a better light with the folks at New Light Electric. Residential and commercial services. They do remodels and additions, electrical upgrades and repairs, LEDs, installation of hot tubs, vehicle charging stations, and more. If you're looking for the folks who have the best touch, these guys are the lighting experts. They literally do it all, and they can add some light to your life, too. New Light Electric. Like them on Facebook or call 479-220-2836. Dr. Mark Olson has been providing top-notch patient care in Northwest Arkansas for decades. His new office location, exit 69 off I-49 on Willow Creek Drive, is more convenient and accessible than ever. Find out today about the benefits of natural hormone and thyroid treatment. Get your energy back. Dr. Olson is also providing medical marijuana certificates for patients with diagnosed medical conditions. For patient care like no other, it's Olson Clinic in Johnson. Online, olsonclinic.com.
Shogun of Fayetteville for a special experience every time. Best Japanese cuisine around, they have it all. The sushi is top-notch, but everyone's talking about their hibachi grill. The chefs are incredible. It's delicious and entertaining at the same time. For recruiting, celebrations, or just a good old date night, Shogun of Fayetteville has never let me down. With the scenic view of Fayetteville from the hill by the mall, full menu online, ShogunFayetteville.com.
The latest news in Razorback land and beyond. You're listening to The Real NWA JB.
I think I got more belief in them than you do, my friend. Cody giving me the breakdown. Now, this is a real professor at work right here. This is how you do it. Cody says, starting pitching, A+. Bullpen, B+. Defense, A. I agree on the defense, Cody. Defense has been great. That's one of their best things. Unfortunately, I think Dave Van Horn right now getting a little bit too caught up in we've got to have a great defensive team. And so he's not perhaps leaning on the offense as much as he should have. I think he's realized some of the error of his ways. You've heard him very critical of the lack of offense from the outfield the last couple weeks. And now Peyton Holt is finally starting to play every day. So I don't think we were wrong about that. This guy's too good to not play. I think I had him as their, what, second best hitter going into the year? Did I have him at two? I had him at two to Kendall Diggs. And I think Holt's better than Diggs. More consistent. Now Diggs has more power. And Stovall is probably the best hitter on the team, truthfully. But none of these guys are absolute game breakers, y'all. I mean, you're talking about, at best, 350, 360. You look up and down this Arkansas Razorback lineup at the midway point in the season, and it is not, I mean, it's not amazing. You certainly don't see a ton of things just jumping out at you off the charts in the offensive department. You don't run it all. You don't run it all. That bothers me, probably more than a lot of the youngins who listen. I know we have a a slightly younger audience since we migrated to the digital world here, but we still got a lot of savvy older heads who know how to press a couple buttons. Y'all remember the days when people used to run all the time. Plus, now with the pitch clock the way it is, I mean, you're seeing it in Major League Baseball. Just look at Acuna with 70 steals last year for the Braves. Run. Get creative. Take an extra base or two or three. Score runs where runs don't exist. That's how you win a championship. And I just don't feel, let me be the voice of criticality. I mean, this is who I am, the voice of criticism. You know, it's the truth. I don't think they manufacture enough runs yet for me to feel great about their chances in the postseason. Then again, what do I know? I'm a sports talk joker man for 25 years. I'm not a baseball coach. I'm not. If anything, a lot closer to a youth hoops coach, because I am one, than a baseball coach, because I'm not. But I sure have watched a ridiculous amount of baseball in my life. And it's a language sport. It really is. You could say that about every sport. But I feel like with baseball, either you speak the language or you don't. And if somebody doesn't speak the language and they're a grown-up, like they're an adult, well, then that's on them because they're not going to get it. You know, I go to a lot of baseball games with my kids, and we talk baseball. And a lot of it is them asking me questions and me giving them answers and then them saying, that doesn't make any sense. To which I'll say, you're getting it, kid. Exactly. You're getting it. And I get a weird look back, especially from my daughter, when I tell her she's getting it. But she is getting it when she says, like, a lot of those rules don't even make sense. No, you're right. But once you learn the language and you embrace it and you learn how to speak it, they start to make more senses. They definitely do. She knows that. Naturals tonight. Dalla Dalla Brats, y'all. Try to get out to that. Going to give away a family four pack here at the break to tonight's Naturals game. You want to go? I'll hook you up. I'll come find you. I'll throw the four tickets right in your lap wherever you are. All right, I promise you a quick look at some numbers because Vanessa on Facebook says, Josh, if you want us to be the teachers, we need the full material at your disposal. Grade book, reports, quizzes, and more. Also, does class participation count? Y'all are crushing it. Way to be, Lady V. Way to be, Lady V. Embrace the role today. We are halfway into the season, and this baseball team is good. It's not great. Hasn't proven anything yet. I think greatness decided in the postseason, truthfully. Ranked second or third, depending on the poll you're looking at. I think that's a little bit generous. Phil Stanton, who has his own poll, College Baseball Insider, joining us on Thursday this week. They should beat Texas Tech twice in a row if they want to get back to number one next week. Anyway, that stuff doesn't matter. The postseason matters. What's your first half grade for Arkansas Razorback Baseball? What's your first half grade for the Hogs? And it's a good one to run with. All right, here's some averages. Ready? Who's leading the team in batting average? Anybody? Anybody? This will go a lot faster if I just do it myself, okay, rhetorically. Peyton Holt, 349, is leading the team. He only has 63 at-bats. Like, you might disqualify him for not having played in enough games. I mean, you're what, 30-5? I think the only... Has Kendall Diggs played in every game, too? Diggs might have played in every game. The only guy I know for sure has played in every game is Ben McLaughlin on this Razorback team. He's the only one who has played in every single game. First, DH... They might have spotted him in the outfield early on, but McLaughlin's been steady Eddie all year in the lineup. I think Diggs, I feel like he missed one midweek game. But other, so basically, Diggs and McLaughlin have played every game. McLaughlin's hitting 298. Diggs is hitting 264. That's been a big issue lately that I've probably not highlighted enough, but Diggs is, he's on the skids right now. It's the law of averages in baseball, and he's on the skids. That is the second lowest average of one of the regulars. Do we consider Wilmsmeyer a regular? He's only hitting 209. Edmondson at 292. All right, in order. Holt, 349 to lead the team, only 63 at-bats. Holt has only one home run. Peyton Stovall is second. He is only 91 at-bats. A lot more than Holt, but hitting 341 with five homers. I think Stovall might be the best hitter on the team. Sprague Lott has had a breakout year at the plate, even as a transfer. 319, five homers, and plays great D at third. You can't take him out of the lineup. Souza, 314, only 70 at-bats. but 6 home runs in those 70 at-bats. Talk about power. And his slugging percentage is 643, easily leads the team in that department. Souza's a baller. We mentioned McLaughlin, Steady Eddie, 28 ribbies, second on the team to Aloy, Vahiba Aloy, 280, 9 home runs to lead the team, 34 ribbies to lead the team. Lovich at 276, Diggs 264 with 6 homers, tied with Souza, McLaughlin for second, and then you go to Hudson White and Wilmsmeyer and so on and so forth. They're not getting a lot of the catchers at all. Helfrich, White, Roland, Polk. You can play as many catchers as you want. They're not getting much out of them. Jack Wagner, 296 when you spotted him in. How about stolen bases? As a team, Arkansas has run 36 times and has been successful 29 times. That's an 80% success rate, over 80%. I would run more. I think that underscores the point here. I would run more. Will Edmondson and Vahiba Aloy are your leaders in steals. Aloy basically leads the team in everything except average. 6 for 6 for Aloy. Edmondson 5 for 6 on stolen bases. Souza has a few. Stovall has a couple. Holt has a couple. I would keep running. They have not run nearly enough. The pitching numbers are just preposterous. As a team, 264 ERA is, you're going to win a lot of games if your team ERA is 264. Are you kidding me? Hagen Smith, 7-0 with a 1.53. Colin Fisher, 6-1 with a 1.96 ERA. Molina, 3-0 with a 3.32. Tiger, 3-1 with a 2.59 ERA. McIntyre, who's been a little bit back down to earth of late, 2-0 with a 2.56 ERA. And who am I missing here as the starting pitcher? I think that's basically it. Bullpen's been strong. So many guys have delivered. Hogs, 30-5 overall, 25-1 at home, 3-3 on the road, at South Carolina for 3 this weekend, 5 o'clock for our People's Postgame Show, round 30 Saturdays. We have spent together already in our first 8 months, but we'll get after it and talk some Hogs and some Carolina Gamecocks coming up on Saturday night. All right, so a lot of Razorback baseball talk today. We got the NBA playing games tonight. Brian Toporek to join us from Bleacher Report and SB Nation, longtime good friend of the show, at B Toporek on the tweets. We got 2 good ones tonight, 2 good ones tomorrow. Pelicans-Lakers tonight should be great, and it's earlier too, which is good. Down in the Big Easy, that'd be a fun one to be at. 6:30 tonight, New Orleans home for L.A. Pelicans, 1.5 favorite. You know, a lot of folks are going to go with the Lakers as the dog there, but I think the Pelicans playing some great basketball right now. Warriors and Kings, 9 o'clock TNT. They played a 7-game first-round series last year. Kings have faded late. Warriors have surged up. Golden State, a 3.5-point road favorite. Might take the Kings with the points at home. But money lines, I go Pelicans tonight at home over the Lakers. And yeah, Warriors money line over the Kings. Tomorrow night, Heat at Sixers. And Hawks at Bulls. Trae Young's supposed to play for the Hawks in that one. I'm going to take the Sixers at home. And I'd probably take the Heat with the 4.5 points. And then Hawks, Bulls. Man, Hawks are so injured. Give me the Bulls at home there to cover, too. So play-in games. We'll talk about them in the first-round matchups. Looming and some end-of-the-season wrap-up work. Brian Toporek to join us here in half an hour. Before that, Richard Davenport and some recruiting talk as the Arkansas Razorbacks get Zvon Ivicic, baby, the big Z. Yes, siree. Coming to Arkansas from Kentucky. Gotta love it. Now we need 12 more where that came from, right? But Zvon Ivicic is an Arkansas Razorback, 7'2", and guy can shoot. He's a shot blocker. Hawks haven't had a legit big man since, goodness gracious, who was the last truly legitimate big man? I mean, Mekhi Mitchell had some moments this year, but really, let's be serious. Darian Towns, Stephen Hill, those were, I think you got to go back to the Big O. I mean, I think you might be going all the way back to Oliver Miller. All the way back to the Big O for the last time, Arkansas had a truly dominant all-around NBA quality center, and that's what Imani Misic is cracked up to be. So the Big Z coming to Arkansas, John Calipari's first transfer commit, and so you'll build around him. Not a bad place to start with a 7'2" guy in the middle. One in, one out. You add a Misic, you lose Jacoby Criswell. Criswell bouncing into the transfer portal. That one hurts. It's a little bit odd, very modern too, that you can transfer every year. But he had just transferred to Arkansas for one season from North Carolina. Now he's right back in the transfer portal. I don't know, whatever. Arkansas gets a little thinner at the quarterback position. Clearly writing is on the wall that it is Taylor Green's job to lose. And so I get the frustration for Criswell. Malachi Singleton immediately up the depth chart. He's your number two. Man, he's fast. Still don't know about him as a passer, but he can run to move the chains right now. You saw that in the spring game a little bit too, and definitely in the couple of scrimmages I saw. And what? I guess Austin Ledbetter by default becomes your number three quarterback right now with KJ Jackson, the young buck, your heir apparent quarterback of the future, kind of your de facto redshirt number four. That's what you got there. And that's what we're talking about. Arkansas and Texas Tech tonight, 7 o'clock ESPN2 at Bob Walker here in Fayetteville. It's 7:40. If you're doing it live, way to go, because we do it live. Of course, the post-show podcast for you out there wherever you listen to your podcast audio. Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and more. All right, need to hit a break. We'll do it when we come back. RD, Richard Davenport, talking recruiting. Eddie Visich in and Singleton out. And more of this Razorback baseball team. What's your first half grade? Professors, what's your first half grade? We're back.
Hello, this is Tim Stanley, owner of TDSIT. You've known me only up in Northwest Arkansas, but now I bought Business World down in Little Rock. We expanded in 2023, and now we're moving the business to a new location in North Little Rock, May 1st. I'm excited about our reputation for high-quality service, products, and support in Northwest Arkansas, and I'm thrilled that the Carlisle family chose me to buy this 45-year-old business in Little Rock, and we will continue building relationships and high-quality clients. We'll see you soon.
Builders Direct Lighting offers quality lighting products and solutions for all of your project needs. We buy directly from the manufacturer with no middleman in sight, passing the savings on to you, the customer. From a small office space to a large warehouse, indoor or outdoor, we do it all. Yes, we can even light your pickleball court. For more info, visit buildersdirectlighting.com or call 479-256-0461.
Herman's Rib House on College in Fayetteville, a tradition like no other around. When you're looking for the best steak, chicken, salmon, something for lunch or dinner, Herman's has your back. This year is their 60th anniversary, and the food keeps getting better. Perfect time to stop by and check out their revamped menu, the Dustin Omelette, a personal favorite. Herman's in Fayetteville. Follow them on Instagram or Facebook for more info. Stop by and grab some grub today at Herman's, celebrating its 60th year in business in 2024.
Hey folks, this is Matt Chambers with Blue Kangaroo Packouts. We know bad things happen, and we're here to help, taking care of your contents and possessions when disaster strikes. Covering Northwest Arkansas and North Central Arkansas and the River Valley, accidents and weather happen all the time. When it does, we have your back. Moving, cleaning, warehousing, cataloging, tracking inventory so you don't lose a single personal possession. More information is online at BlueKangarooPackouts.com or give us a call at 479-879-9696.
At Team B Media, supporting local business is what we are all about. Northwest Arkansas is one of the fastest growing regions in the country and one of the best places to live. We are proud to be a small part of its infrastructure. We have a passionate, enthusiastic audience who support local sports and business. For a cost-effective way to advertise your company's message to engage local consumers, contact us at Team B Media today.
Northwest Arkansas Naturals single game tickets are on sale now at nwanaturals.com. Tickets range from $9 to $17 depending on the game, so enjoy low-cost family entertainment at Arvis Ballpark all summer long as the Naturals regular season extends through September 15th. For a complete game schedule, a list of upcoming promotions, and to buy tickets, visit nwanaturals.com.
Golden Corral of Fayetteville features a legendary endless buffet for breakfast, lunch, and dinner to feast the fam or to feast yourself. Enjoy over 150 menu items. Their all-you-can-eat steak is my favorite. Hand-cut USDA top sirloin. Their bakery game is strong, too. You name it, they got it, and they make it good. Golden Corral, a place with something for everyone at a good price. Conveniently located where college meets Maine in Fayetteville.
Old school flavor with that new school flow. This is the real NWA JB.
Up with Brian Toporek is just a beautiful thing. And so, BT, it's a great time of year for basketball heads like us. The postseason upon us, or the almost postseason upon us, as the case may be. Still not quite sure how to describe these playing games in that regard, but we get some good ones. Tonight, Lakers at Pelicans and Warriors at Kings. How about we start there? What do you make of those games tonight?
Yeah, it's funny because the Lakers and Pelicans just played on Sunday.
Yeah.
The game had stakes for both teams, and the Lakers kind of destroyed the Pelicans. LeBron James had a 28-point triple-double. Anthony Davis had, I think, 30 points, 11 rebounds. He left in the fourth quarter because of back spasms, but he said he should be good to go tonight. So I think the big things to watch, one, the Pelicans, this has been an issue all year for them. They are just so quick to downsize with Jonas Valanciunas. He only played 7 minutes on Sunday. You would think his size would be really helpful against Anthony Davis, but he's so slow-footed that I think LeBron, I think he had like 7 assists in the first couple minutes of that game on Sunday. So if he starts dissecting JV and the Pelicans early, I'm guessing they go small with Larry Nance, play Zion at the five, which is where the game broke open on Sunday. The supporting cast for both teams, there's a lot of talent. Herb Jones on the Pelicans. Brandon Ingram is now back as well, so we'll see how he's doing. CJ McCollum has been on fire from three as of late. D'Angelo Russell has been very good for the Lakers really over the last month or two of the season. So it's a lot of star power on both sides here. And you know, there's some conversation among Lakers fans, which I think we just need to discount right now, of would they be better off throwing this game, avoiding the Denver Nuggets in the first round of playoffs, and then facing the winner of Kings Warriors on Friday for the right to play OKC, who they, you know, on paper match up better against. I just think that is a huge risk to take when it's, you know, that game on Friday is win or your season is over. So as much as the Denver matchup might be difficult for the Lakers, I think you just play the best you can, try to clinch a spot in the playoffs and worry about the individual matchups later.
I completely agree. You know, and I think teams sometimes get a little too caught up in all that side stuff and trying to, you know, politic for this matchup or play this guy or that guy. Now, you go play the games, you do the best you can, and you don't put your season on life support, like you said, with a do or die game tomorrow night. So winner of Lakers Pelicans is in. And we'll get the winner of Warriors and Kings, the loser of Lakers Pelicans, will get the winner of Warriors Kings. So Warriors Kings is a loser out game. What do we make of this game?
Yeah, a rematch from the first round last year, which went 7 games. I think, unfortunately, the Kings have had a couple big injuries lately to Malik Monk and Kevin Huerter, which could really come back to haunt them in this matchup in particular with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on the other side. So I think the Warriors are overall healthier right now. I think they're the deeper team right now. You know, the Kings were such a fun story last year, and it's awesome to see that they're still maintaining some of that momentum. But know, this is, I think, the where, you know, people were with the Tyrese Halliburton Sabonis trade were saying it worked for both sides, but I liked Indiana's side better. And I think we're starting to see why. So I lean the Warriors here, mostly because of the Monk and Herder injuries, unfortunately.
Yeah, I can see that. Brian Toporek at B Toporek on the tweets. Great to catch up with him as we get fired up for some NBA play in action tonight, tomorrow night. Let's go ahead to tomorrow, and you get two more matchups, tasty ones. In the East, the Sixers home for the Heat. BT's long-beloved Sixers with a rough year, and yet they didn't slide all the way out of it, but they are in a play-in game. One win there, and you're in. Heat-Sixers tomorrow night, Philly at home. What do you think, BT?
It's just all about Joel Embiid. He didn't play Sunday. They called it precautionary, so we just have to take the Sixers at their word right now. Sounds like he should be available. Sounds like D'Anthony Melton will not be. Robert Covington will not be. Melton, I think, is a piece they actually will miss against Miami because he would be a really valuable piece chasing Tyler Herro around all these screens. But, I mean, if Joel Embiid is healthy, I think the Sixers, you know, they're favored by four right now. The Heat just don't have a good answer for Tyrese Maxey, I think is what it really boils down to. He had a terrible tactical side of this matchup.
Yeah. And then Hawks and Bulls. Hawks have been just devastated by injuries this year, right? I think Jalen Johnson's supposed to be out for that game. Bulls at home. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like a lost season for the Hawks. You're right, Jalen Johnson's out. Onyeka Okongwu is out as well. And I think he actually would have been big in this matchup against Nikola Vucevic. You know, the Bulls have a fair share of their own injuries. Zach LaVine's been out for a while. Lonzo Ball's been out the entire season. But they still have DeMar DeRozan. Kobe White had a breakout season. He's one of the real candidates. But I struggle to see how the Hawks have enough firepower to keep up in this matchup.
What do we hear about Giannis? Is he going to be available in the playoffs for the Bucks?
I mean, Shams Charania of The Athletic reported yesterday that his availability for at least game one is in doubt. Calf injuries are tricky. You know, you really, really don't want to rush a guy back from him. But at the same time, you know, without Giannis, I mean, the Pacers have owned the Bucks all season, even with Giannis. So they haven't played in a while. They haven't played since Doc Rivers became the coach of Bucks. I don't even think they've played since the Pacers acquired Pascal Siakam. So these are, you know, very different both sides than they were earlier this season. But I thought the Pacers were live in this series, even if Giannis played game one. So I am very tempted to pick the upset Pacers over Bucks.
I think that's a good pick by you, Brian. What about Mavs at Clippers? That looks like a juggernaut series as long as Kawhi's okay. It's been so weird with Kawhi and his injury management, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard, we will just never get experience.
Right?
Their health,
right?
From either of their teams. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. And so we are assuming that Kawhi Leonard is ready to go for game one. Again, the Clippers behind the scenes are sending that message, but yeah, the Clippers opened as favorites in this series, and I think the Mavericks overtook them as betting favorites, and now it's just about even. So, yeah, I mean, people are expecting a very even series. The Mavericks have just been fantastic, really, over the last month or so. The trade deadline acquisitions of PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford added some defensive heft for them that they were lacking earlier this season, and some size as well. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup stylistically because the Clippers can go small and often do go small. So how the Mavericks match that. And then, you know, you've got Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. Like, those are two of the best individual scorers in the NBA. But then on the other side, you have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, who are two of the best defenders in the NBA. So I would imagine those guys are going to match up a ton. James Harden will be, I think, a sneaky big key to this series. How much does he have left? Is it, you know, he's a great passer, but does he still have a random 25-point game in there as a scorer? Because, you know, that's what the playoffs are about. It's like you just have to steal games however you can. And it's often, you know, a role player will go off unexpectedly and swing a game. And you do that a couple times and there you go. You advance. So if they get one quote unquote James Harden game, that's going to help the Clippers' chances of toppling the Mavericks.
Doncic's numbers are so ridiculous, Brian. 34 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. He and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander might be the two best players in the league, but nobody talks like that, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, Nikola Jokic, I think, would have something to say about
it. You say that every time, and you're not wrong, and you've been saying it for 3, 4, 5 years, but at some point we have to acknowledge he's not the only great player in the sport. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's the wild thing is that any of these guys, you drop them in 10 years ago,
right,
the Derrick Rose MVP right year, and they're winning MVP unanimously. It's just, they're all playing concurrently, and there can only be one MVP, unfortunately.
Right. But, right.
Yeah, I mean, all three of those guys are legit MVP candidates. They're playing at an MVP caliber level. And I mean, honestly, NBA fans are just blessed with an outrageous amount of talent across the league.
Right, no now question about that. There is no question that the talent in the league is more pervasive than it ever has been. A lifelong NBA fan talking to a lifelong NBA fan about that. You mentioned Gafford quick. Obviously, he's a local hero. He's a Razorback. How about the breakout season he's had here? With the Mavs, he's been exceptional. Has taken his game up another notch. 11 points, 7 rebounds. 2 blocks, shooting 78% from the floor in 30 games with the Mavs. Now, he almost always dunks or finishes around the hoop, but real quick, you mentioned Gafford. He's been a great addition for them.
Yeah, he's exactly what they need. I mean, when you have a high-level passer like Luka, just get a big guy who can jump high and you can throw alley-oops to. I mean, basketball is a pretty easy game when you boil it down like that.
Nailed it. All right. I'm just looking at the series. We already know for sure in the first round coming up here. What about Magic at Cavs? That looks like a straight toss up. Anthony Black, former Hog, playing for the Magic on that one. Go ahead.
Yeah. That one's a hard one to get a read on because the Cavs have just been so inconsistent this year. I think injuries have been a big issue for them. I mean, Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell have all been in and out of the lineup. It's hard to shake what happened to the Cavs in the first round of the playoffs last year against
right
your Knicks,
right,
who just abused them on the glass. And now they're going against another big physical team in Orlando. The concern with Orlando is that their offense tends to bog down. It's tough for them to score. So Franz Wagner, I think, is going to be a big piece in this series. His shooting, 3-point shooting, has just plummeted this year, but again, we're working in small samples here. So if he gets hot for a couple of games, that might be all she wrote for Cleveland. And Cleveland has just a ton of pressure on it. You know, knowing that Donovan Mitchell can become a free agent in 2025, there's going to be a lot of speculation about his future this summer if they don't go on a deep run. So I think that's hanging over the Cavs going into the playoffs.
He'd look awfully nice at shooting guard next to Jalen Brunson, wouldn't he, in New York?
Honestly, hate me for saying this, but I don't think they should go for him. No.
Okay.
I think Brunson has proved right now that he is that guy. I mean, I don't think you need another high-level scorer in the backcourt next to him. I think, honestly, the Knicks, I'm guessing Randall is going to be the guy who gets moved. So I think I think you're looking for someone to replace him more than anything else.
I think you nailed it. I mean, his volume has gone up, his efficiency's gone down, but he's a freak player. I mean, what an underrated gem. He's gotten better every year. The guy obviously lives in the gym. I like your respect for Brunson. You're an all-around NBA guy. That's why you're great at what you do, Brian. But we know we got a Knicks and Sixers thing, a Philly-New York thing back and forth. Knicks got the 2 seed, which doesn't even sound right. 50-32 was good enough for the 2 seed. They're going to get the winner of a play-in game. It might be your Sixers. How many rounds do you think realistically my Knicks could win before I let you get out of here, Brian?
I think they can go to the conference finals.
Okay.
We'll see. Honestly, I thought when they made the OG trade, I thought they were the second best team in the East. I thought they were like the best threat to beat Boston.
Yeah.
And it's going to be tough for any team in the East to beat Boston, if we're being totally honest. But I think the Knicks very feasibly could beat the Sixers in the first round, could beat the Heat in the first round, and could, you know, whoever wins Bucks Pacers, I think they'll be live in that series as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. It'll be fun. NBA playoffs to get started tonight. We're excited for it. And before I let you go, got to get your finals pick. I'll give you mine. I got the Celtics And the Nuggets. I think you're right about the Nuggets. Celtics and Nuggets for the title. I could see Boston winning it this year. What's your finals pick?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's the clear, those two are the very clear favorites going into playoffs.
Right?
It's hard to pick
right?
against yeah. either one. I want to be contrarian. I
mean, well, do it. Go ahead. Pick the Thunder. They're our regional team. Tell me why the Thunder are going to be in the finals.
I hope they're in the finals. It would be amazing if they're in the finals. I mean, they are, honestly, the NBA should just be terrified of them and the Spurs, because if those two teams hit their moves moving
forward. What a finals that would be if we do get Celtics Nuggets.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, yeah. man.
Those are the two best teams in the NBA, and that's the finals. You know, if sports were fair, those are the finals we deserve. But, you know, we know sports are not fair. And right now in the NBA, it's 3-point shooting just adds so much variance.
It does.
Team gets hot for a series or cold for a series. You know, that's really the only concern with Boston. They just shoot so many threes, and they're smart to do so. They have a ton of great 3-point shooters. They know basic math. Three is more than two. And if we have a ton of great 3-point shooters, we're probably going to outscore you.
Well, let's not forget about the old man and ones. You know, I lived on those. Down low, pump fake. Let's go. Give me an and one. No, you're right. The threes have transformed the sport at every level. At B. Toporek, ripping it up. Guy knows his hoops inside out. Bleacher Report, Forbes. Love catching up with him, co-host of the NBA pod as well. Brian, you're the man. Enjoy the games. We'll talk here in a few weeks, I hope, okay?
Thank you, and good luck to your Knicks.
All right, good luck to your Sixers, buddy. We'll see you on the other side, okay?
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Brian DeForest cracking me up, giving us some great thoughts. And look, this is a fun show today. We have gotten late fast. It is 8:26 already. Ugh. Look for the Post Show podcast in just a few. And of course, as we wrap this bad boy up, we always like to give you a look back at our question of the day. I asked you today for a progress report on the first half of the season. Brian and Fort Smith, the real BT, Brian and Fort Smith saying the grading opinion cannot be improved upon. It's an A+ for your grading skills. No, Cody did really good. Nate, overall midterms an A. The key word is that it's only a midterm. I think that's a good point, too. You have not yet hit the most difficult stretch, which is going to be, again, you're in it now, South Carolina and moving forward, schedule tougher, more road games, and then the postseason is not easy, my friends. Facebook crew, Kenneth, A with room to get better. Chase, an A-. Kevin, A+. BT, A-. Terry, Team A, Matt Hobbs A, Nate Thompson B. Interesting. Breaking it down into coaching grades. And on that note, we gonna call this bad boy good. 90 minutes live coming at you. Bunker Studio, Team B Media, 5 days a week on the daily. Get the Podbean app, HD radio in the palm of your hand. You Bluetooth it, you got it in the car, wherever else you may go. And it's a heck of a thing. Now, I was asked yesterday what I thought about the internet, the World Wide Web, whether or not I thought it might make it. And you know what I said? I'd say, bet on the internet right now, my friend. Bet on the interwebs. And here we are, 2024, pretty much everything on. I'm watching the Mets live stream on the internet last night on Amazon Prime. I'm watching the Jets on YouTube last year. You're watching me on YouTube. You're listening to this on Apple and Spotify. We're all in the same places now. It's unbelievable. People's post-game shows on Saturdays, football, basketball, baseball year-round. We got your high school basketball and high school football games of the week. And all of this just 8 months into Team B Media. I told you out the gates, give me a year or two, my friends, and watch what happens. And you are getting us there one day at a time. One listener at a time. And I appreciate every last one of you. For the whole crew, I'm Josh Bertaccini. Go get it! Have a fantastic Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow at 7.